To those with a dual diagnosis. My name is Linda and I'm an alcoholic. I'm writing to share my gratitude to AA and to the wonderful fellowship I found here that has enabled me to stay sober for 21 years. I'm so glad that I know I'm an alcoholic and that the solution promised by AA works for me one day at a time. I'm no longer ashamed to be an alcoholic. I always felt different as a teenager and I used alcohol to help me cope with my feelings. I was an anxious, oversensitive, only child and I had many fantasy friends because real friendships were difficult. I felt guilty and not good enough a lot of the time. I had my first blackout when I was 15 and the next morning I told myself it hadn't happened. My denial was strong. One of the reasons that I'm in writing in is to hopefully give identification to those alcoholics who have a second mental illness. I have bipolar disorder. My mood swings and suicidal thoughts began in my late teens and I medicated these feelings away with alcohol. When I drank, my anxiety and my fear of people disappeared. I forgot I was depressed. It was as if I became a different person, confident, uninhibited and free from all the emotions which I found difficult. I drank daily from the time I left home at 18 and at first I had fun, or so I thought. But outside my working hours, where obviously I wasn't allowed to drink, my life was just one drunk after another. My drinking baffled me because no matter how hard I tried, once I took the first drink, I had no control. I was hospitalised aged 23 for depression and diagnosed on the lower scale of the bipolar spectrum, which was deemed not to require any medication. Instead, I medicated myself with alcohol and other mood-altering drugs for the next 16 years. My behaviour frightened my husband and friends dropped away, but I listened to no one and I never told anyone how I really felt. Somehow, I still managed to work in a responsible profession, but I had a lot of time off sick, and it was my alcoholism that broke me. I was hospitalised aged 39, and my first contact with the AA was in that psychiatric hospital, where I was admitted as a patient with alcohol abuse issues, as the medical staff called it, following a suicide attempt. Two AA members from the hospital AA group came to the wards every week and they took me to my first meeting. About 30 people were there and some women gave me their phone numbers and offered to take me to meetings when I could leave the hospital. I heard a woman share and I wanted to be like her. She seemed, even to my confused head, to be in a far better state than me. Emotionally, honest and happy in her own skin. I later joined that group and having been told that gratitude needs to be an action, I was honoured when it was my turn to go round the wards and see if anyone wanted to come to AA. During my drinking, I was honest about my depression with doctors and I was prescribed antidepressants, but I was never honest about my alcohol intake. When I was high, I didn't visit my GP because I was deluded and I thought I was just wonderful. My bipolar disorder meant that at times I lost touch with reality and I suffered hallucinations. These were not DTs, as I was drinking every day. Some of my behaviours at these times were the same as those of a practising alcoholic, which of course I was. I had uncontrollable bouts of spending money, periods of promiscuous behaviour, inability to sleep and chaotic fast thinking about everything due to my bipolar was exaggerated. These patterns of behaviour have complicated my recovery because sometimes it's hard to tell whether I'm a dry drunk or in bipolar relapse. At times I was totally demoralised and I thought I was incapable of working the AA programme, when in fact my bipolar disorder was out of control. I compared myself to other AAs and felt very bad about my recovery. I had a sponsor, but I wouldn't contact her for weeks on end. What stopped me drinking again during these bipolar relapses was my dependence on my higher power and attending lunchtime AA meetings almost daily. I always tried to share honestly and not just say, I'm fine. This meant that people knew my problems and could help me, and I slowly learned to trust. I was given enormous encouragement, kindness, and practical help, and for that, I'll always be very grateful. Sharing so honestly in meetings, though, did mean that I did have some very dangerous suggestions made to me by fellow AA members who weren't using Tradition 10, which states, we have no opinion on outside issues. When I was 8 months sober, an AA member told me that starting to take a mood-stabilising drug would be the same as relapsing. I believed him, and I put myself at risk by not taking my medication. It was only when my psychiatrist told me that when I was high, I could lose touch with reality to the extent that I could forget I'm an alcoholic and I might drink again, that I started taking the medication for the first time. An old timer also stopped my partner from doing a top table share once because he was on antidepressants. I think it's vital that we don't give advice about medication or indeed other issues to fellow members, especially newcomers. I was confused enough and didn't know who to trust in A and who not to. Eventually, I asked my sponsor to tell me who the winners were. Old timers who would share their experience with me and not tell me what to do. I think we need always to have in mind that AA was founded on the unparalleled ability of one alcoholic to gain the confidence of another alcoholic when they share their experience, strength, and hope with each other. This is the basis of all 12-step work. My chaotic behaviours when high happened again in recovery when I stopped taking my mood-stabilising medication for 6 years. I didn't drink during this time, nor did I heed the signs that my recovery was well off course. Sponsees said that they didn't want me to sponsor them anymore. I changed home groups repeatedly, had dysfunctional energy-sapping relationships, and was often irritable, discontent, and in self-pity. Eventually, I could see that by putting my sobriety first, I can stay sober. But crucially, I needed to learn how to manage my bipolar condition as well, to protect my sobriety and to benefit from all that recovery can offer me. It is challenging to recover from another serious mental illness alongside my alcoholism. I have been given enormous love, tolerance and support in AA. My higher power is my daily support, and he never goes on holiday. Because God works through people, I'm daily gifted by the people around me to help me progress. I'm helped by numerous outside agencies, some suggested and some referred to via professionals, and some I've found myself. Honesty, open-mindedness and willingness have been essential. I try and live by my slogan, pray and go, because faith needs action to achieve results. And 21 years of continuous sobriety is proof that this program works and that it is a spiritual solution that we are offered for free. I hope this letter will give encouragement to anyone with a dual diagnosis. I know I'm an alcoholic because I drank too much for too long and I became dependent. I have the allergy to alcohol and I can never drink safely again. Today, my bipolar disorder is well managed. I trust the medical profession for the first time. I'm not a know-all. Most of all, I owe this second chance of living entirely to AA and to all the members who went before me, who have kept AA as Dr. Bob and Bill W. intended. Yours in love and fellowship, Linda B., WIC, Steps to Freedom.